We read God's Word this morning as it is found in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. We read verses 1 through 24. The first 24 verses of Romans 9. We do so before we consider or look at Lord's Day 49, which is about the third petition, Thy will be done. Romans 9. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on them on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, Why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the power of the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. I read that far in God's holy word. You can find Lord's Day 49 and page 26 in the back of the Psalter. Lord's Day 49, page 26. Thy will be done. which is the third petition. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will, and without murmuring obey Thy will, which is only good, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I begin this sermon by calling you again to notice how our Savior teaches us to pray with petitions that are very God-focused. God-focused. Out of thankfulness for the salvation already given us, we are to pray, Jesus teaches us, seeking God's glory, the glory of His name. So we ask, Jesus says, as our first petition, hallowed be Thy name, not our own name, but His name. This is the highest, most delightful goal of every true believer, the glory, the hallowing of God's name. Secondly, out of thankfulness for our Savior and our King, Jesus teaches us to pray desiring the King's priorities. Help us to seek Thy kingdom first, or Thy kingdom come. And pray that He so rule in our hearts that we submit more and more to Him, especially in the work in His church. And today we consider how our thankfulness to God leads us as servants of our Lord and Master to desire not what we want, first of all, but desire of God in prayer what He wants. Thy will, not our own, but Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. With these first three petitions, Jesus Christ teaches us to pray focused upon God and not on ourselves as we are accustomed to in our lives and even in prayer. All three petitions are not only God-focused, but secondly, notice, and I remind you that they are for the Holy Spirit. They are deeply spiritual requests for the grace of the Holy Spirit. On the basis of Scripture, the Catechism has been calling us to make such requests, that the Spirit may sanctify us. We cannot hallow God's name of ourselves, and so we pray, we cry out, help me to hallow Thy name. We cannot seek first His kingdom, and so we pray for this Holy Spirit to work in us so that we may seek His kingdom first. We cannot of ourselves renounce our own will, and without murmuring obey His will in every regard. And so we cry out, help me by Thy Holy Spirit to do Thy will. These are simple but deeply spiritual petitions that we make as the first requests of our prayers. Let that be in our lives, beloved people of God. We said last time that the second petition about the kingdom follows now with the third petition. But the second petition about the kingdom has to do with centering our lives as true citizens of the kingdom in the church, so that with the church and in the church and through the church especially, we seek to serve the King. We seek the sanctification and the preservation, and especially we emphasize the gathering, the increase of the church, that God's kingdom may come in the end. We need to make that more of a priority in our lives. We cry out to God for help in that. And saying that, however, we do not mean that we should then quit all our earthly jobs and everyone take up a job in church, the church institute, I mean. I do not mean that in making the priority the kingdom of God and praying that way that that every single male in this congregation needs to become a pastor or a missionary, though more should be considering that. And it will be the case if we as a congregation are seeking first His kingdom. But I do not mean that every man and woman should neglect their duties in the home so that all of us go door-to-door witnessing 24/7. That's not seeking first the kingdom. I do not mean that men on the job should neglect their labors so that they can chat about church all day long. For while we must have as our priority seeking His kingdom, and everything we do must in some way be connected to seeking His kingdom, there is much that we must do in service of our God that we may not be able to clearly connect to serving the King in our minds. But God has willed, by placing us in our station, in our calling, certain duties that we must do, that He has willed, we say, for us to do. And we pray in the third petition then, that God would help us to do those duties faithfully and willingly. That's what we consider this morning, praying for God's will to be done. We begin, however, first with His will of decree, and then we move on to His will of command. When we pray, "Thy will be done," we have to ask the question, what is the will of God? What does that term refer to? The will of God. And it is important for us to distinguish between two senses of God's will, which Scripture gives us. We must distinguish, though we do not tear them apart or separate them, but there are two ways in which God's Word speaks about His will. And the two ways are the will of God's decree, which we consider first, and then the will of God's command. We're praying about both in the third petition, and the third petition is mainly about the second point, God's will of command, and yet it is also about God's will of decree. And that's what we begin with this morning. Thy will be done means may God's decree, His counsel, a synonym to that, His plan be accomplished. Implied in that is that we are expressing our submission to His sovereign determination of all things. We're praying as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, as He was in agony there because of what He knew God's plan was for Him. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. Thy will be done, Jesus prayed. And though our difficulties are not close to the measure, the degree of pain and difficulty which Christ endured, we follow Christ in such a prayer. God's will, children, means simply and most broadly what God wants. Will means want. What God wants. And when we speak of God's will of decree now on the first point, we're talking about what God has wanted from eternity. All things which take place in time, whether good or evil, whether prosperity or adversity, whether peace or war, whether unity or controversy, whether winning or losing, whether in sickness or in health, whether in life or in death. All things take place according to this will of God's decree. And there There is mystery to it. And yet, it's no mystery to Him, though it is to us. He has known all of our ways from eternity. Many try to deny this because they cannot answer all the questions of this mystery. Questions that arise about human responsibility and about the fairness of God. But just because human beings have a difficult time answering all the questions about this eternal decree and will of God does not make it any less true. God's will, His decree, is that which governs absolutely all things. Yes, including Satan, including his demons, including sin, including abuse, including false teachers in the church, including the Antichrist himself, including cancer, including death, including corrupt politicians and the most fearful things in this world. They cannot so much as move except it be according to God's will of decree. We insist on that on the basis of God's word. Not only because it's true, but because though our questions are not all answered, it is for our comfort. Where would we be if we thought that the darkness and wickedness all around us could happen apart from our Father's will? Some theologians call this will of decree the secret will of God. That's not the best term because as you think about God's plan, His will of decree, there are many aspects of His plan which He has revealed to us, which are not secrets to us. In His Word especially, in the Bible, in the Scriptures, children, when you read the Bible, you hear many parts of His plan. And when He accomplishes His will in time, through history, we see Him doing His will of decree, what He has planned. So many things are not hidden from us. And yet, it is true that there are other parts of His plan, His will of decree, that are not known to us. For example, His return, Christ's return, His second coming, we do not know the day or the hour of that. We do not know when or how we will die. We do not know God's counsel regarding the results of the future presidential elections. We do not know the future regarding the health of our denomination. There are hidden purposes of God in our trials. We know all things work out for our good, Romans 8:28, but often we do not know all of the purposes that God has in this life, which are for our good. So He has hidden many parts of His will of decree. In the third petition, Jesus teaches us to pray, "Thy will be done." And part of that prayer is, "Thy counsel, Thy plan, that will of decree be accomplished." You hear the submission in that, beloved? Not my will, but Thy will be done. Have Thine own way. Cause me, help me to submit to Thy will. As the Catechism says, grant the first part that we and all men may renounce our own will. That first part applies to the will of God's decree. Help me to give up mine own will when Thy will has been made clear. To be content with it. When I receive a bad grade, when I lose, when my plans get ruined, Thy will be done. Yes, we are called to be diligent, as implied here in this petition as well, to do God's will. But when I make the plans to do God's will, when I've made a schedule to do God's will, when I seek to order my life to obey God, and then all my plans and my schedule and what seemed to be orderly according to me is ruined and I'm inconvenienced. I pray, Thy will be done, because Thy will is for my good. The prayer includes really an acknowledgement that we tend to want to be God, to be in control, to have our wills done. And we say in this third petition, I am not God. I am not in control. It is not good if all things go according to my will. Thy will be done. When I must face the difficulty of marriage, or cancer, or troubles in the church, or loneliness, or the seemingly unending afflictions of old age, Thy will be done. When infant baptism is a joyful occasion, because it does point us to our salvation in Jesus Christ, yet it also reminds of the burden of barrenness or of singlehood or of the death of a child or the straying of a child. Help me, we pray, to renounce my own will and without murmuring submit to Thine. That's the third petition about God's will of decree. And regarding God's will of decree, we must not only be reminded of His will of decree about everything, but Romans 9 especially now shows us that His will of decree governs salvation. And that in particular, Romans 9:16 sums it up, so then it, that is salvation, is not of him, you and I, not of him that willeth, meaning not according to our will, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Salvation is of God's will, not of our will. Paul expresses what he as a human being wants or wills at the beginning of Romans 9, notice. He wants the ethnic Jews, the Israelites, which were his beloved relatives, to be saved. He wants them to be converted from their trust in their own works, to trust in Jesus Christ alone. But because they continued in their unbelief, they showed themselves to be not saved, even though they knew the Scriptures back and front. In verse 3, he even says, I could wish that myself were a curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And he's in great sorrow and heaviness as he mourns his loved ones, trusting in their work. And yet through the rest of the chapter, Paul is acknowledging that salvation, even of his brethren according to the flesh, is not according to his will, but according to God's will. The most familiar illustration he gives is that of Jacob and Esau. Remember, Jacob and Esau are born to believing parents. And God's will was to love and save Jacob. And God's will of decree was to hate and bring to damnation Esau. What shall we say then? Verse 14, is there unrighteousness or unfairness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will. This is God's will. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Salvation is according to my will, God says. Not man's free will. Not Paul's will. Salvation is not even of man's regenerated will. But salvation is wholly of God's will. Every facet of it. From eternity, we know election. It has been His will to save only some by name. When He sent Jesus Christ, and according to His determinate counsel, His will and foreknowledge, Acts 2:23, He delivered His Son to be crucified and slain by wicked hands. That was according to His counsel, not only the history of it and the timing of it, but also for whom Jesus shed His blood, limited to the ones that He will to save. And then in time when He regenerates, in a baptism we see the sign of water come down upon us, His people, and that water shows the regenerating work of the Spirit. And that sign comes in all the members of the visible church, and rightly so. We must remember that is not all the members of the church that have been baptized who are saved and washed and regenerated. But it's according to God's will of decree that He saves some. In His time, saves those whom He has chosen. Some don't like to hear that. They imagine it encourages laxity or even antinomianism. But it's the truth of God's sovereign, gracious will, which though Arminian heretics may twist, and Arminian heretics ignore, is the truth of Romans 9 and all of Scripture. As believing parents, as we baptize our children, we thank God for His covenant promises. What I just said does not deny those. Covenant promises are real. Covenant promises are that He does save us as believers, and He does save our children. So we baptize them, their children, to glorify God for His promises, His gracious, merciful promises to save us and our children. And remember, none of us, whether we're believers and our children, none of our children deserve the blood and Spirit of Jesus Christ given to us. And we thank God for His promises. And yet, beloved, it is important that we don't take these truths of the covenant and His precious promises to us and fall into some conditional idea of the covenant, which many have, and imagining that every single one who has been baptized is saved, covered by the blood and Spirit of Christ. And then when that child or that person grows up and lives a life of impenitence and unbelief, that they fall out of the covenant and lose their salvation somehow. Baptism is a beautiful sign of God's gracious work, but not a guarantee to every single person who has been baptized. Thy will be done, we say, even at baptism. God's people are to rest in God's will, not in a fatalistic way, but in a submissive manner, in honor of God, who again does not have to save any of us or any of our sinful children. We praise Him that His will is to do so, to save us and our children in His mercy. Along with Paul, we do cry. We do cry out for the salvation of our loved ones. A straying son, a straying daughter, a straying spouse. And God hears when we say, like Paul, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were a curse from Christ, from my son, my loved one. And yet here is where I rest. thy will, not mine, but thy will be done. In our prayers, we keep the will of God's decree in mind, but more, we should also pray now, secondly, with God's will of command in mind. Thy will be done means help me to do thy will of command. And that especially. Remember, children, the will of God, most broadly and simply speaking, means what God wants. What God wants. And God does not only want something that He has in His plan from all eternity, but He shows us in His will what He wants in His commandments. In the Ten Commandments that we read this morning, He says, "This is my will of command. This is my imperative. This is what you must do. This is my precepts. These are my laws. This is my will." And that's what the Catechism emphasizes. Grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring, obey. You see that word, obey thy will. And so, beloved, I look upon you this morning on the basis of God's word. I say, this is God's will for you. This is God's will for you. This is command. This is His command that you must repent and that you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone for your salvation. You must, you're called, you're commanded to. And I don't say this is God's will of decree that God wants every one of you to be saved. That's the well-meant author. That from all eternity, He has planned it. That's a contradiction of His election and His revelation in Romans 9. But I do say it is His will of command that you repent and that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And then in repenting and believing more, I say, this is the will of God, God's command to you, that you obey all of His commandments in thankfulness and that you flee your sins. It is God's will of command to you that you cut off that relationship with that ungodly person that is not one with you in the faith. It is God's will of command that you cease from your drunkenness or any other addiction. It is God's will of command to you that you turn and you get some help to fight your pornography, which too many men today minimize. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, this is the will of God, and it's talking about the will of God's command, even your sanctification, that ye shall abstain from fornication. No, we cannot sanctify ourselves, but it is God's will of command that you live a life of sanctification. That's the point. And while it is proper for us in hearing those commands, the will of God's command, to respond, I cannot. I cannot of myself live according to that will of command. Yet you may not stop there. If the Spirit is working with you, as His Word is brought forth, then you do not stop there. But rather, you fall on your knees and you pray sincerely by the power of His Spirit. Thy will be done, that is, help me to do Thy will. To live a life of holiness. To fight my sin. And then having prayed, you get off your knees and you use the means God has provided and you do put effort by His grace in disciplining yourself and getting the help needed to fight your sin. Trusting in Him who works in you both to will and to do of His will of command. In that connection, beloved, I want to address a very practical error that often stems from the confusion of God's will and God's will of decree and God's will of command. There are those who I think intentionally do this, though sometimes it's unintentionally done. We take the will of God's decree, we talked about in the first point, and God's will of command, we're talking about now in the second point, and mix them up into a mess in order to excuse or minimize their sin. And we're prone to this. And so I warn you of it. I've heard it too often that after a fall into a presumptuous sin, that is, a sin which was calculated, it was planned out, it was step by step done in order to deceive and then to cover up. And after someone's been confronted with their sin, that person says, "I'm sorry, but you know it was God's will." You hear the confusion? The confusion of God's decree, will of decree, and God's will of command in order to excuse sin? That's blasphemy. Or it's done this way. And some listening this morning hear the command of God, they're convicted about their sin, and they plan to go back, they intend to go back. They do not have any will, no want to fight against sin. They plan, they intend to go back to the same sin without seeking help. And what they're telling themselves today is, if it's God's will, then it's God's will, and I won't fight my sin. That's blasphemy. An intentional, perhaps unintentional, but often an intentional mixing of God's will of command and decree to excuse and minimize sin. And I say it's blasphemy because it is to blame God. It was His will for my sin. God's word is clear this morning that we must distinguish between His will of command and His will of decree. His will of decree is He has planned out your life, yes, including sin. But His will of command is that thou shalt not sin. And you're called to fight it. The water of baptism shows the blood of Christ and the Spirit of Christ washing His people from sin. And if Christ has indeed, according to His will of decree, washed you, then He will work in you to want to do His will of command. He will work in you to pray with all your heart, "Help me to do thy will." God's will of command includes clear commands from His law, but God's will of command also includes what the Catechism says, the duties of our station and calling. The duties of our station and calling. And that is very important to understand. Station refers to your place in life. That God has, according to His will of decree now, you see the decree and command come together, though not mixed up now. Station refers to your place in life, which God has arranged according to His plan to place you in. A position like the age that you are right now, and the family that you were born to, a particular city you live in, and a school you are part of, a specific church you're a member at, you have a certain job, you're married to a certain spouse, and in these different stages and places in life, you have duties, unique ones, different for you than for other people. Calling is similar. Your station in calling is your vocation. God has arrange your life, not only to place you in certain places in life, but He's given you a calling to be an engineer, perhaps, to be a teacher, to be a student. And often we have multiple callings, to be both a father and a husband and an elder and a teacher, or a homekeeper and a wife and a mother, a teacher of other women in the church. Different callings that are unique to you and not the same for everyone. And when He does that, He places you in different stations and callings in life. He shows you what He wants, His will of command. And you and I are called to obey. Parents at baptism sense the will of God's command very, 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 very uniquely and heavily at baptism with the vows that you make and the obligations shown to parents in the Scriptures to train up a child. We are reminded, parents are, of their station and calling. And there's much to do, much responsibility, especially for first-time parents, that they feel the weight of. And so they come to God in prayer. In this station and calling, and they pray, "Thy will be done. Help me to do what I have vowed. What is Thy will for me as a father or a mother? That I may raise this child according to the aforesaid doctrine to the utmost of my power." And all the duties or tasks that we may have in our station and calling, we might find, mothers, speak to you especially, we might find in our duties of our station and calling that these duties at times seem menial. They seem meaningless. They seem difficult and so repeated. After I clean it, I have to do it again tomorrow. Or we might have something to do on a specific job site, men. Difficult job that your employer has told you to do and you don't really understand. And why? And it's not against God's law, but it's simply your calling today. Or students, you might have something assigned by your teacher and you think it's silly. You don't understand why you have to do that. Or elders, you might have to do work that people consider dirty work as you confront sin or doctrinal error. But in our stations and callings, this is His will. We don't feel like doing it. And so we pray, help me, grant that we may renounce our own will, and without murmuring, obey thy will. To describe the manner of doing God's will, and what we pray for, the Catechism says, look at the example of the angels, as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. In this way, the Catechism is not pointing out the angels as an arbitrary example for how to obey God's will. But the Catechism is interpreting that last part of the third petition, on earth as it is in heaven. Help me on this earth to obey God's will of command as the angels obey God's will of command in heaven. We don't think about those angels as much as we should, although there is nowadays too much speculation about angels, good angels, bad angels, the trend nowadays it seems. But here in the third petition, Jesus allows us to think about the angels in a proper way. These beautiful, glorious winged creatures. They're described in Hebrews 1 as ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. God in heaven sends the angels of heaven and they fly down to us and they minister to us. Regarding our children even, Jesus says, that in heaven, their angels, the children's angels, do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven, Matthew 18, verse 10. Their angels specially called, given a station and calling, to care for our children. And they're involved far more in our lives than we often think. They're there rejoicing when one sinner repents. They're there to preserve us. They're there to accomplish God's work of providence to help us fight the battles that we need to fight, all in service of God. But now think, these perfect, glorious angels, in heaven. And they're called to come down and minister to us dirty sinners. If we were in their place, we would think, that's dirty work. Why would I go down there and take care of these people? And do it on this fallen earth. But they do so willingly and faithfully in service of King Jesus. We pray, help us to do thy will as willingly and faithfully as those angels. Willingly describes the heart that sincerely wants. And we pray this, and you can relate to this, beloved. We pray this, that we are willing in our service of God, because there's a very strong part of us called the old man that doesn't want to. And there's a battle within us. Sometimes it feels like there are two wills within us, where we want to do what is God's will, and then the other part does not want to do what is God's will. We want to be diligent, and yet there's another part that wants to be lazy. We want to put aside that screen that is distracting from the duties and the station and calling, but we don't want to. We'd rather just stay there and forget our priorities. And so we pray, help me to want. Strengthen our wills according to the new man. Choose what is right. To renounce my own sinful will. And faithfully, not only refers to diligence, it does, to our diligence. That broadly, help me to be diligent in my labor to do God's will. But notice the word faith and faithfully. To do God's word or will faithfully is to work out of a true faith. The point is that as we labor, beloved, to do God's will, we're not trusting in our own strength, and especially this, as we labor to do God's will, we're not seeking to do God's will of command in order to save ourselves, to gain God's favor. We have been saved. We already have His favor in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. And so out of faith, that is, while we are trusting, believing in Jesus Christ for our salvation, resting in Him for the favor of God freely given, while trusting in Him for the help we need to work, we go forth out of thanks to do His will. The prayer is that the Spirit of Christ may use His word even today as it is preached, to conform His will to, or our wills to His will, not the other way around. And mysteriously, as we pray this petition with understanding, even while we are praying, He grants our request. Amen. Let's pray. O God, conform our wills to Thine. Cause us to submit to Thy will of decree, Thy saving purposes for us and all Thy people. And give unto us a knowledge, a discernment of Thy will of command in our lives, knowing what Thy Word shows us regarding Thy commandments, and also understanding the station and calling, the vocation that Thou dost give us. And may we seek then to do thy will willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven, seeking first thy kingdom and hallowing thy name. Amen.